You guys, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Blinds. It is me, Troy Mickey D.
And Kelly Williams.
You guys asked for this episode and you're getting it. And whatever it is, it's what you deserve because you asked for it. Now, I will say what, maybe 35 minutes ago, Kelly and I both ate an edible. What have you done? Like, what's happening with you right now? No, because you had a vape pen.
Yes, so I do have a vape that is sativa.
Uh-huh.
I've had two seltzers. I just took a 60 milligram edible. That is where I'm at, Troy. Where are you at? I know what you're at. Those fucking evil edibles.
Well, I took a couple of my evil edibles. Kelly calls them evil because they're very strong. I don't know why, like they taste great when they're nice and cold. Kelly unfortunately had one when we were in LA that was molten lava warm. I'm talking gelatin that has been left out in the sun and coagulate. I mean, it was like so gross. Like her face when she ate it was so funny, but they're strong as shit. And I'm also
sick. Took them in Boston.
Yeah, we took them in Boston as well. And they'll get you there. I'm also sick and on pain medications. So I'm really working with a lot here.
So this episode is going to be so fun.
It's going to be good. We're doing the Met Gala moment. So this is how we are sort of describing this episode. We want to talk about the Met Gala. Obviously, we want to talk about everything that happened this year at the Met Gala because there's a lot to talk about. And I have a lot of intense homosexual feelings. but we also want to do like a full Met Gala episode. So for this week, we're just going to be talking about the 2022 Met Gala blinds that have come out so far. And also maybe dip and dab into some silly ones from the past, but we do want to do like a full head to toe Met Gala episode as well in the future.
For sure. Yeah.
And we're also going to be reading questions. Because we asked you guys for questions and I have not looked through them. So we're going to be surprised and shocked and just picking random ones. And I'm excited.
I know. I hope you guys like this episode because I feel like it's going to be at least fun for us. I hope it's fun for everybody. Right. Because Troy and I, guys, when we go to different cities, the way we do it is we do drugs and drink heavily.
We always have an edible moment and we always get wasted.
And somehow I always end up in Troy's hotel room, never in mine. I'm always just like following Troy. I'm like, are you tired? Can we hang out?
But no, this is basically, you're going to be getting a conversation of what we sound like after our shows are over.
Or the night before our show.
Right. Exactly. So we're going to start with you guys' questions, and Kelly and I are going to be asking each other questions.
But we'll still answer it, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Oh, what's your favorite way to partake in marijuana use?
Okay. I love the wording of that. I'm an edibles girl. I used to prefer to smoke. And now that I'm decrepitly old, my lungs can't handle it no more. So I don't like hacking up and gagging. I already smoke Parliaments. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't need be doing double time on my lungs. So I'm an edibles girl. What about you?
I like edibles, but I also like to smoke.
Yeah.
I actually don't love a vape. I'd rather smoke like a bowl or a blunt or a joint, mm-hmm. but a vape's all I got. Cause I don't know how to roll. So it's what I got. It's legal here in New York. So it's exciting for me.
Now, why don't you prefer a vape? Because I don't either.
I don't know. I just feel like I either hit it like too much or not enough.
I feel the same way. I can't ever get a good grasp on like what I'm supposed to be doing. And then sometimes I'll hit it and it literally feels like the devil himself is cracking every one of my fucking ribs. It's so intense.
Yeah. So my friend Christina smokes vapes. And when I took my first hit of like a weed vape, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because it doesn't hit like a bowl or you don't have to like suck as hard as right. you do. So yeah, so that was, I saw Jesus when I hit a vape for the first time, for sure.
They'll get you there. Oh, sorry.
They're coming to get me right now.
5150 is headed by me window. If you could redo slash take on any celeb's PR image publicity, who would you want to fix?
Ooh. To be honest, I don't know if there's any fixing, but Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, that's a good one.
I would love, because Hayden's so talented. And even before all the craziness, I mean, although I guess Hayden's life has been crazy since day one. But I feel like she never got the credit she deserved for being able to sing and act and, I don't know about dance, but at least sing.
Mm-hmm. She's a good one because she's so talented. I think I would pick Megan Fox.
Would you be like, no, MGK?
Yeah, I would like really sit her down and be like, listen, like you have potential to be really cool. And like you are fucking it up. You're turning yourself into a fucking joke.
Know what I think's really wild? MGK just bought a home. Like, I think he bought Logan Paul's house.
Okay.
He bought it. Not him and Megan. He bought it. There's no way those two are getting married. I'm calling it right now.
Oh, if there is a God, they won't. My God.
Oh, what was the name of the movie loosely based on the Carter brothers?
So the movie is called Harry and Max. Or Harry plus Max. I think it's called Harry and Max. And yeah, I don't know where you would find to watch it, but if you Google Harry and Max, the movie, like you can see still shots of it. Actually, I think it might be on YouTube. If you YouTube the movie, I'm pretty sure it's there in completion. I don't think I've ever watched it in full, but it's there for your viewing pleasures. From finding multiples of the same revealed blind, what makes a blind worthy to share?
We share every blind. I will say Troy and I try and stay away from ones about pregnancies that haven't been confirmed, miscarriages that haven't been confirmed, and then like probably like ones about people with needles in their arms.
Yeah, for the most part, I feel like we both collectively just like want people to come to their own conclusions about stuff. So we just read everything as far as like, you know, aside from the ones that obviously Kelly just stated, but yeah, we read them all. I mean, if it's revealed, we'll read it, unless it's something really horrific.
Yeah. There have definitely been a few also where we're just like, this is dumb and untrue.
Yeah, like we do edit out the ones that are really stupid, because you would be surprised at how many fucking stupid blinds there are. Even ones that are like one sentence.
Yeah.
Like, I removed so many blinds about Joe. We just did a Joe Jonas episode. If you're listening to this, you know that already. And I removed so many blinds that were like, he cheats, he cheats, he cheats, he cheats, he cheats. Because it's like, okay, we get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Three people you would like to have dinner with right now. Real, fake, alive, dead, anyone.
Jesus.
We've done no prep for these questions.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, obviously one of them is going to be Brittany. I'm going to ask about that baby. I'm going to ask about Sam. I'm going to ask about her pappy. I'm going to ask about that bitch sister from hell. I'm going to do all that. And another, oh my God, this is really intense. Anybody, fictional or real?
A fictional too.
I don't know if this is a cop-out, but the next two people would be Abby and Alana, because I've been watching a lot of Broad City, and I just think that that would be really fun to sit at a table with Brittany, Abby, and Alana, because, like, they would be really funny and also very warm and make her feel very comfortable.
That's not a cop-out. I think that's a great little foursome.
Okay, good. What are yours?
I would probably say Taylor Swift, Princess Diana.
Ooh.
And Whitney Houston.
Whitney.
It doesn't matter if they get along. I just want to talk to each of them.
I'm making my way over to the table.
I love Whitney Houston. Like, her celebrity, like, when she died was the first celebrity death where I was like, oh fuck, like this actually hurts.
Yeah, Whitney is up there for me. She's on my queens list for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a kings and queens list?
I don't. Should I?
Yeah. You don't have to make it now, but write it in your notes app. Think about it tonight.
How many do I need? Because I can probably come up with it off the top of my head.
I mean, it should be a short list. It should be like 5. Queens list. I'm talking.
Okay. I can do that right now. I can do that right now.
Okay. Now this is queen. I mean, it's top of the top, like best of the best, like doesn't get any better.
But it's my favorite people, right?
Yes. Yes.
So Whitney and Taylor Swift, Chelsea Handler. Or do they have to be singers?
No, whoever you want.
Okay. Chelsea Handler, Princess Diana. And then I love Mindy Kaling. I think that's my 5.
It's a big deal to say, like, she's on my queens list.
I think that those are my top 5, like, women.
You guys, send in. We should do a question on Instagram. I want to know people's kings and queens lists.
Who are your king? Or who are yours? I don't have kings yet. You go.
My queens list?
And kings.
My queens list is Brittany, obviously. Whitney, actually. Goldie Hawn.
Oh, I didn't expect Goldie.
Yeah, I love Goldie so much. Who else was on my queens list? I think Brittany Murphy. And, oh, there's one other person. I have it written down on my phone. It might be Anna Nicole.
It's definitely Anna Nicole.
It could possibly be Anna Nicole Smith. I don't know.
Who are your kings? That's what I want to know. Because I feel like queens, like, we always talk about, like, female artists we really like.
Right. King's list changes all the time. That one I'd have to dig through the phone and probably edit. Make some changes too. Give me a minute. I'll think about it. Maybe by the end I'll work something.
Okay, we'll come back to the King's list.
Okay. Let's see. What does barely there celebrity refer to in a blind item? So, oh my God, I'm like high now. Oh my God, I'm talk way slower when I'm high, by the way. Like when I'm sober, I don't even think about what I'm saying when it comes out. It's just word vomit. And when I'm high, I'm like, okay, this word and then that one next. And
I'm
then
the opposite. One.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's so lucky.
No, it's not.
Okay, so a barely there celebrity is a celebrity who is like famous, kind of. Like they're famous if you squint. That's how we describe it at our live shows. Like it's a celebrity who is around, they exist, you know that they're there. Kellen Lutz, he's barely there. Like, he exists, he's around, you know that he's famous, but he's a barely there celebrity.
And it's usually celebrity offspring.
Like, fucking, what's her name, Olivia Jade.
Yeah.
He's like a barely there celebrity. It's like, a lot of people may not even really know who she is.
Somebody asked, are we coming to the UK? I would love to. I mean, we want to go everywhere, honestly.
Yeah, that would be a dream, honestly. That would be so amazing.
And then someone said, can you talk about the Vans Warped Tour? Troy has way better stories about the Warped Tour than I do.
Oh, God.
Mine was mostly like sweating under a tree, being like, Mom, can you get me? I'm not having fun. Boys Like Girls has already performed.
Like, and I stepped in mud.
Literally.
I was a real Warped Tour queen. I was obsessed. I was like this weird, like, hyper preppy like fucking Carson Kressley looking queer eye boy that was friends with like all scene and punk people, because that was like my vibe. But I just dressed like Marco from Degrassi every day. So, because he was truly my style icon, I'm not kidding. Anyway, so I used to go to Warped Tour every single year with all of my friends. I was obsessed. We would fill up water bottles and like fake suntan lotion bottles with alcohol from our parents' basements, and we would go every year. And it was complete fucking MySpace teenage debauchery, just hell on wheels, and it was the most fun years of my entire life. And also, the bands are all rotted. The men now come to find out all of the men were just fucking all of these teenagers. There were no rules or restrictions. And like everybody knew that all the teenagers there were fucking wasted.
Yeah.
Which is what's even more crazy. Like I think about all the adults that used to just see a bunch of fucked up teenagers and not really care.
My friends and I, not just for Warped Tour, like any concert we'd go to, we'd always have like a pipe or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do the half up and use it as a hairpiece. So people would think it was just decoration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we would sneak in everything, or we put it in my bra. I used to put like what do you call the tiny bottles of alcohol?
Yeah, I know what you mean, like the liquor store bottles, a little tiny.
Yeah, what do you call them in like Ohio?
Little tiny bottles.
We call them nips in Massachusetts.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
So I am heavy chested. And I would just stuff a bunch of nips in my bra. So I would walk through security with like 5 or 6 nips in each boob.
By each nip.
In each nip. And that's how we would get super fucked up.
I like that you call yourself heavy chested.
I didn't know what to call myself.
I like that. That really truly tickled me.
It's true. It's heavy, heavy chested.
So we got a question for me about how Texas was, and then Kelly got a question about how Brooklyn is, so we figured we would just switch back and forth. Texas was very, very, very fun. It was, like, one of the most fun trips I've ever had, and I wasn't expecting it because I didn't think I would like Texas. I just have always had, like, weird thoughts about Texas in my mind as, like, an outsider. And, yeah, it was really fun. Like, the convention was super fun. I'm going to do an entire Dunzo episode about, like, obviously meeting Neve Campbell. I mean, it'll take more than an hour to describe it, obviously. But that was obviously, like, bucket list moment. I'll never forget it. Every single moment of it is burned into my brain. Never be the same. Never washing my body. The whole thing. It was, like, a podcast, hang out, get drunk every day kind of gig. It was great.
Yeah, Brooklyn's been good. I am finally feeling more settled. I have a friend who lives like just up the street. One of my best friends, Marty, we dated in 8th grade and we're still like best friends to this day. So we've been able to hang out a lot. Could definitely use some more friends. So I'm working on it, but I'm right near Domino Park, which is, I go there every morning and just, I sit on the bench and smoke weed and look at like the river.
I love that. Oh, you're going to make a friend that way that also does the same thing.
I need a meet cute. I need to like meet someone down there.
Totally.
It'll happen. If I sit there with like my AirPods in like I do and just stare at the water all stone, do you think it'll happen?
Actually, yeah. The right person will be able to appreciate that.
Yeah. But no, I go down to that park probably once or twice a day and just kind of like take it all in. It's still kind of crazy that I live here. And one of our questions, Troy, was how has Beyond the Blinds like changed our lives?
Oh God.
I can live in the city I've always wanted to live in.
Yeah.
And everyone listening, I appreciate you so much.
Yeah.
I don't know how I can genuinely put into words the fact that I used to have fake concerts in my living room. And now I get to actually like talk to so many people. Oh my God, am I gonna cry?
Oh my God.
No, but I get to like talk to so many people and meet so many people. And I think that's my favorite thing about Laguna Beach or even Nostalgia Now, and especially Beyond the Blinds now that we're like going to different cities. It's really cool to meet people whose handles I know just because I've talked to them like so much.
Mm-hmm.
But Beyond the Blinds has changed everything for me. I can live in the city of my dreams. I get to hang out with fucking Troy all the time, even though it's virtual, but like he can't get rid of me. but yeah, Beyond the Blinds has kind of changed everything for me. And everyone listening, I just want to say thank you.
I couldn't agree more. It's like weird to even think about like life before doing it. Cause mm-hmm. I felt so lost in what I was doing and like I felt lost in my content. Like, I felt like I was, like, just releasing shit, and it wasn't, I don't know, I just felt really, like, lost.
And then you got a call from me.
Right. And that call literally changed my life, and I feel like this podcast has given me so much guidance in my life, and, like, helped kind of steer me somewhere and make me feel like I'm doing something that's, like, important, and I don't know, I just really love it. And like you said, like, we've both, I think the thing that makes it more special is that you and I both have been podcasting for years and, like, kind of running on this, like, treadmill, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, we came together in life during, like, very similar times. Like, we were both having kind of the same thoughts about, like, what we were doing, and it just felt like it was meant to be. Like, yeah. Looking back, it's like that phone call truly was meant to be. Honestly, you have to look at it that way, you know?
100%. No, I completely agree with you.
So, yeah, it's just very special. And yeah, it's cool. And also, she asked what song I sang at karaoke. By the song was Anticipating. Zach and I sang Anticipating, and hearing Zach's Britney voice was pretty iconic. Because if you've heard,
I wish
Zach's,
you got it on video.
If you've heard Zach's normal speaking voice, it's pretty, like, specific. So it was good. But that was a great question. Okay, this next question is, have you ever done shrooms? And if so, did you love it? You go first.
I have, and I hated it. I'm not mentally, like, strong enough for psychedelics.
Tell me everything about that.
I did it in, like, a safe area. I was with my brother. So I was with someone I trusted, mm-hmm. but also someone who, like, holds the codes to make me furious. So,
okay.
But no, he was super, like, nice about it. And we were in a park, and I was just like, this isn't for me. I don't know how to tell you or why it isn't for me. It wasn't for me. I'm more of, like, I like uppers.
Yeah. Yes. I get it. I get it. And, you know, getting older is knowing your boundaries, you know? Mm-hmm. I like shrooms. I like doing them extremely, like, you know, in the comfort of I'm not, like, the kind of, listen, I'm not the kind of person who likes to go out and, like, do crazy. Like, I don't like to, like, be hallucinating at a bar. I just don't understand that. Like, I like to do things like that in the comfort of someone's home, or, like, somewhere that just feels really, like, comfy with people that I trust, you know? But the first time that I ever did shrooms was in college. And it's really funny. Like, we had planned the whole day around it. So, like, we woke up really early, and, like, it was summer. So everybody was, like, off campus, and, like, it was just, like, the perfect day. And we woke up super early. We did shrooms, and we were young. I mean, we were, like, you know, 18, 19 years old. So we were, like, not, nobody wanted to be the first one to admit that they were fucked up. Right.
Right.
No, you know, like, that's, like, a thing. Nobody wants to be the first one to say it, or, like, show signs that they're fucked up. And I remember we were downstairs, and we took them, and we were like, well, let's go play Guitar Hero, because it's 2007. And we're like, okay, yeah, let's go play Guitar Hero. And we're all making our way up the steps. And I'll never forget, I was the last person going up the stairs. And I was watching my friends go up the steps, like, all my, like, girlfriends, like, all my roommates. And they were all, their bodies were literally, like, beating against the wall, holding onto the railing, like, crawling up. But they weren't talking about it. And I was like, oh my God, we're all fucked up, and nobody's saying anything. And it was, like, the most fun day. But yeah, I like shrooms.
Fuck, marry, kill. Rita Ora, Gigi Hadid, Sheena Shea.
This is actually, okay, you go first.
No, you.
Okay, well, you fuck Rita. Obviously. You fuck Rita. You, this is fucked up. You marry Gigi, and, well, I don't want to say the rest.
Honestly, I don't think I would kill Sheena, and I don't know what that says about me.
You'd marry Sheena?
I need someone who will not fuck with my head. Sheena will not.
True.
Sheena would be a great wife.
Sheena just wants to be loved.
Yeah, and I can do that for Sheena. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm going to fuck Rita. I would fuck Sheena. No.
Okay.
Yeah. I would, honestly, I'd fuck Sheena. Kill Gigi, I think, just because Yolanda.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, girl.
Yeah.
And then marry Rita, because we can go to the Met Gala together.
it would be fun to live, because, you know, the thing that would be fun about marrying Rita is that I wouldn't give a shit about what she does, and it would just be fun to be a part of her insane life.
I think marrying Rita Ora would make me a pariah, and that's what I've always wanted to be.
That's actually very true. Because then you'd have to answer questions about why she doesn't have an album out, and it would just further sink your own career.
All you have to say is, I've heard her latest like songs, they're great, they're just not ready yet.
She's working on it.
I already know. I also think Rita is like one of the most beautiful women ever.
She's literally stunning. And like, also, by the way, one of the most exciting to look at, to quote Kim.
Yeah.
Rita Ora is fun to look at.
Like, Gigi's beautiful. But Sheena would get me on Vanderpump Rules, at least for some kind of storyline.
That's true.
And Rita is gorgeous. So.
Yeah.
And we could sing Party and Bullshit on repeat all day.
That's true. Which celebrity would you want as their best friend?
I would probably say, this isn't what anyone's going to think I'm going to say. I think Hillary Burton would be a really good friend. Peyton from One Tree Hill, she was my favorite on TRL, and she seems to be close with people she was friends with like before the fame.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she's like a person I would spend time with, famous or not.
That's a good answer. And she seems cool. Like, she just seems like a cool person. Like,
she lives on a farm in upstate New York.
Yeah, very much that. I get that.
And she also seems like she talks shit too. So that's important to me.
Well, when you're on the farm in upstate, you can.
No one will hear us.
Yeah. Just you and the apple pies and the cast iron skillets.
Me and the goats.
Yeah. I think probably Nicole Richie has always been my answer to that question.
Oh, duh. You and Nicole Richie?
Yeah. Be fun.
You'd be Sanasa times 7.
I would feed off of her manic energy. She would get me to do so much bad shit. Oh my God.
I feel like that's why I need someone on a farm.
Yes, that's a smart answer.
Are there any rotten celebs that you can't help but secretly love?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all, I mean, you know when I said the other episode when we did another AMA, where I said my problematic fave was like the Backstreet Boys?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Usher. I think he's actually like a celebrity who I know is really deeply troubled and mm-hmm. rotted, but like I love his music so much, and he was one of like my first real crushes where I was like, ooh, like that Yeah right. music video really got me going. So
right.
I think Usher's my answer.
You know, it's hard to pick one for me, because I feel like the thing that makes this podcast really difficult is that, like, even the people that we've talked about, like, I'm still fans of like all of their work. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? There are James Franco projects that I'm not gonna like act like. I love Freaks and Geeks. Like, I'm always going to have a special place in my heart for that. You know what I mean? It makes it hard to like grapple with it, of course, but I've just come to, after doing celebrity deep divey podcasting for this many years,
mm-hmm.
I am hardened at this point. Like, I've worked up enough of a casing that I'm like, I'm good with separating the art from the artist. I feel fine about it. I don't have any, like, I feel like you and I have done enough work. Do you know what I mean? Internal work with these people where I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm good to watch Freaks and Geeks and separate the fact that I know James Franco is a complete fucking dirtbag and I can enjoy the show. I'm at that place in life.
Yeah, I mean, I just I watched Girls for the first time.
Right.
And I got so many DMs about Lena Dunham, and I'm like, I'm aware she's terrible, but yeah. This show I really like.
I like the show. Like, I don't need to constantly be thinking about the horrors of the world. I like art. I like pop culture. I like movies. It's the reason that we do this.
Are there any artists that you won't listen to? Because there are definitely two for me where if they come on, I'm like, next, I'm not listening.
I won't listen to R. Kelly.
Oh, so I guess there's three for me.
Like, I definitely draw the line at R. Kelly because I just feel like, you know, that's a sin that we need to repent for, really, making fun of those girls when we were all rotted. Yeah, R. Kelly's probably my biggest one.
Yeah.
What about you?
I would say R. Kelly, Chris Brown, and Morgan Wallen. I will, like, living in Nashville and watching, like, everything that happened after Morgan Wallen, I'm about to go on a rant real quick. But the way he was treated compared to, like, how the Dixie Chicks, or I guess they're the Chicks now, how they were treated is fucking insane. Mm-hmm. All the Chicks said was that they were embarrassed that Trump, George Bush was from Texas. That is all they said.
Right.
Where now everyone says that kind of stuff about the president, you know?
Which they have every right to say. They're from Texas.
Exactly. Whereas Morgan Wallen is yelling the N-word in his driveway on multiple occasions because I know the person who fucking filmed that and sent it to TMZ.
Oh my God.
They had so many videos and I was like, send them all. But, you know, it wasn't a one-time thing. And I am sorry. I have been blackout drunk in my day and I've never used that word because I know how disgusting it is.
Right. Yeah. Like if you're drunk and you want to say it, it's because you want to say it sober.
Yeah.
What's that saying? Drunk mind speaks sober thoughts.
If you throw the, you know, N-word around, you use it when you're sober, you use it when you're drunk. And, you know, I think his quote unquote, I hate Morgan Wallen, guys. If you're listening, I have so much Morgan Wallen tea that I'm ready to spill one day. But like, he's just not a good guy.
This is a good question. Thoughts on toxic fan bases. Do celebs have a responsibility to call them out? I love this question.
As a Swiftie.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's hard because growing up, like NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys was like a serious conversation on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't sending evil tweets to Lance Bass about it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I feel like it's actually hard for me to relate to fan bases.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Just because, like, even as a Swiftie, like, I became a fan of hers when I was like 15, but I was still kind of like older.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there comes a time where an artist, whether it be Taylor, Ariana, Selena, Justin, like, there's a whole list of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's a time where maybe an artist should be like, guys, stop. Stop.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough. Thank you for standing up for me. But, like, stop sending death threats to people.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think that there's a real blatant, like, turning of a blind eye to act like you don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think that that's absurd. And I've talked about it with so many fan bases just throughout the years. I mean, of course, obviously Beyonce is like the number one that comes to mind because they're the most sort of like synonymous with sending death threats and like, in quotes, swarming people. And like, obviously Beyonce knows that. And it does make you wonder, like when people, I always use the example of Rachel Ray for like a month getting death threats. Rachel Ray from the fucking Food Network, like, having teenagers tell her every single day you're going to die, I won't want your kids to die, all this crazy shit. If you know that that's happening because it's being reported all over the world as news, that people think Rachel Ray fucked your husband, maybe send out a fucking tweet.
Yeah.
Rachel Ray, who I've never even met from the Food Network, is not Becky. I don't think that that would, like, kill you. You know what I mean? And there's obviously so many examples outside of Beyonce, but that's just the most absurd one that you can think of.
Well, I have a question, I guess, off of that. I can't say I've never tweeted, fuck you, Scooter Braun. I can't say I've never tweeted that.
Right.
But that's not a death threat.
Right.
And there's also a lot more layers of my hatred to Scooter Braun than just Taylor Swift.
I just think that if it becomes... if it's at the point that it's like news.
Okay, yeah.
Say something. It's not that fucking deep. Your image and your crafting of being the perfect pop star, whoever you are, is not that deep. Tell your fucking 13-year-old fans to shut the fuck up for it. It's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Would we ever come to DC? Just like wait. Just hold on a little bit. Just like hold on for a moment. Ooh, this one's fun, Troy. What would your blind items be about? We did this for the, if you have the $10 Patreon, we did this for the happy hour and we made blinds about each other. And honestly, we could probably just like say them.
Honestly, yeah. Because, yes, you go first.
What? We call each other D-list too. So when I call Troy D-list, please understand that it's not coming from a place of hate. Like we and are honored.
I take it as a compliment.
Yeah. What D-list podcaster with a contagious cackle was spotted causing chaos on the streets of Dallas, Texas over the last weekend? That's a solid one.
That's good. That is good. And also when I, okay, so know that when I refer to Kelly as the Bob Saget wannabe, it's because she works for America's Funniest Home Videos. And if she was a celebrity, they would call her that because it would be how they would describe her fame. It's Bob Saget replacement or something, which is so funny. But this D-list Bob Saget replacement, how do I word this?
Tread lightly, Troy.
I don't want to get you in trouble. Okay, so I would say this D-plus list Bob Saget replacement / podcast host has found a way to to turn New York as messy as you would expect.
Not wrong. Mostly it's just my feelings that are messy.
I have a lot of feelings.
A lot of feelings. They're going everywhere.
Our favorite high snacks.
Oh.
Love this question.
Sour Patch watermelons, peanut butter M&Ms, probably Doritos.
Love. Classics.
Yeah. I don't need to get crazy.
Sometimes I do get crazy, I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I just get in a real, like, I want to cook something, like some weird fucking shit when I'm stoned.
Never me.
I'll tell you one thing I like to do when I'm high, and you guys can take this and really run with it. Go wherever you want to go. If you know that you're going to be smoking that evening or whatever, you go to the store and you get a bunch of crescent rolls, whatever you have, however many you want, and you just put shit in them. Chocolate chips, peanut butter, string cheese, pepperoni, ham and cheese, anything in your fridge. I just like to, I'll take like five and fill each one of them with something random, bake them 10 minutes, and you have like the most gorgeous, buttery, flaky, fun thing. And yeah, you can make like dessert ones or whatever.
This is a good one, Troy.
Okay.
If you had the power to blackball, it says five celebrities, let's say 3 to 5 celebrities from the industry, who would they be?
Oof. Justin Timberlake. I'd blackball the fuck out of him and I'd make him rub his face in it. I would honestly probably blackball James Franco. Because what a pretentious fuck. Like,
also that episode ruined my whole life.
Yeah. Like, he's just a disgusting pig, and also at the same time just thinks he's so much more than he actually is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck you. God, it's so dark. Whose life would I ruin? Maybe because I'm so high, I can't think of anybody. I mean, I know I hate a lot of people.
No, you for sure hate a lot of people.
Right? I hate so many people. I guess maybe Charlie Sheen, because he's like in limbo and not really blackballed, and nobody really talks about. Charlie Sheen got a really great edit for being such a disgusting monster to have a year where he was like a meme, like, and just a fun, silly meme, and was able to make a bunch of money off of it is psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hate Charlie.
So those are your three?
I'm going to pick those three.
All right. I'm going to pick Morgan Wallen. I feel like I haven't like talked about my hatred for that man on this podcast.
I didn't know anything about. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I hold back because nostalgia now got so many negative reviews when I talk my shit. So Morgan Wallen, Trey Songz, Kim Kardashian.
Okay. I like that.
I need to cut the head off of the whole family.
Yeah, you're smart for saying that answer. Yeah. That was actually a really profound answer.
Thank you.
Honestly, because it's like, wow, how we would be free.
We would be.
We'd be free of all of it. Who is the celebrity that you root for the deepest? I'm going to add in, and why?
I would say probably Amanda Bynes, just because I love her so much. I even streamed her rap song more times than I would like to admit.
Yeah.
You know, I think Amanda has a really sad story, and I would love for her to come back because, like, she taught me what being funny was, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden, always rooting for Hayden. Mm-hmm. I am always, always, always rooting for her. And then, I mean, I don't know. I would like Brittany Snow to get more recognition.
Yeah, you love her. And she's getting it right now.
You know how much I genuinely love Brittany Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say those three.
I mean, obviously, my first and foremost answer has to be Brittany.
Oh, I'm so dumb. Of course. Like,
you know, it's like you get so used to rooting for Brittany that you forget that it's a part of the everyday struggle, you know?
Yeah.
That's
true.
Which is fucked, but... Yeah, rooting for Britney has basically opened up my... I mean, the reason that I podcast is because I've been on a fucking quest my whole life to bring justice to me, Angel. and, of course, Lindsay. I've always rooted for Lindsay. I guess Lindsay always, like, impacted me and always, like, really hit close to home for me because, like, I feel like I get Lindsay's trauma. Like, okay. I understand her family trauma and I relate to it. And like, I get it. And like, I understand what it feels like to think, I understand what it feels like to already have like things working against you because you come from like a not great family. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's hard to like exist in the world as an adult when you don't have like.
For sure. Foundation. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've always related to her in that sense. And I just, you know, she's so talented and such a product of being chewed up and spat out by a really treacherous, evil fucking industry that preys on young, talented girls. And I love Lindsay. And yeah, I guess those would be like the two. Yeah, Brittany and Lindsay are like the ones for me. Like, they're the ones.
So I'm going to ask Troy this. Would you guys ever consider bringing Enty onto the podcast?
Okay, so this is the thing. This is how I feel like Kelly and I operate. And it's crazy because you and I don't even really like discuss this. It's just like we have like an understanding of our boundaries. And neither of us like to fly too close to the sun. I think that you and I both like to exist like a step back, right? And observe. Yeah. And I don't know if we would ever have Enty on the podcast. Like, because Enty is like the king of blind items, I do, you know, we both make an effort to constantly make sure that we're reading his content. So mm-hmm. we have to like shout him out and make sure that like, I know I listen to his podcast and shit too. And I always make sure like he's a Patreon, like all the things. So it's no shade, but it's just, it's like, it's flying too close to the sun for me.
I'm scared it'll be like when Dorothy saw the Great and Powerful Oz.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think you're right. I think, you know, one thing I really like about Troy and I is we try really hard when we're reading blind items to be like, this might not be true. And I feel like if Enty came to our podcast, we could ask him if certain things are true or not. And that like really stresses me out.
Me too. The whole thing just feels really stressful. It's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. And we've got a great thing going. You know, like.
Are we gonna kiss?
You know, if it ain't broke or whatever. I don't know. What is a niche genre of celeb that you want to cover besides WWE and the Food Network? I love this question.
Honestly, for me, it's always CW shows. Yeah. You know, I really want to do One Tree Hill, and I've been putting in work on Reddit and trying to like pull up old discussion boards. I would love to talk about One Tree Hill. So if anyone here is from Wilmington, North Carolina, slide into Laguna Beach's DMs. I would say like, though, that's kind of my niche, like One Tree Hill, Vampire Diaries, The OC, Gossip Girl. Those are kind of like, I don't know how niche that is, but I think that would kind of be like my little area.
I mean, it's like a specific network.
Yeah.
That's like pretty niche.
Just so everyone knows, I understand The OC was on Fox, not CW, just in case.
Because you probably will get that message. Hey, Kelly. If I had to pick a real niche thing outside of the Food Network, because girl, you already knew that was about to be the answer. I guess it would be, I do have a niche thing. I'm going to expose something about myself on this podcast right now.
I'm so scared.
I, in college, had an obsession with like vintage, like 80s porn stars. People like Ron Jeremy, like people that were like Linda Lovelace.
Yeah. And
I loved like just all of the crazy, because they were like their own version of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And their movies used to get like released at the theater, and like it was like they would make a bunch of money, and like 70s porn films are literally just actors that then have it would be like if you went to see, you know, whoever in a movie, and then they just fucked, and then the movie kept going, and it was real sex. So I was obsessed with like 70s porn stars that in my mind were like real fucking famous people. And I would love to do an episode about like an almost like Boogie Nights-esque thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what term I just learned on Twitter that I love? Huh? The throat goat. I feel like it was good for this conversation.
I don't even have words. I read
Nancy Reagan was referred to as the throat goat.
Yes. Yes. So speaking of the throat goat, another person that I would love to do an episode on this podcast about would be Corinne Steffens, aka Superhead, because what a great celebrity.
Should we do one more for fun?
Yeah. What's a random blind item, funny or dark, that's just seared into your memory forever? And like when you think of blind items, it's just maybe one of the first things you think of.
The Amanda Knox yachting with Misha Barton.
Yeah.
That one, I don't know if it's funny. I don't know what it is, but it is something I think about often.
Yeah. That's outrageous. That's a fucking crazy one.
Yeah.
My immediate thought, just because it's a blind item that I remember from like 20 million years ago, and for whatever reason, it always stuck with me, that when Ashley Simpson tried to buy Coke at a nightclub, the guy stole her money, and then she said, I'm going to call the cops on you.
Yeah.
That like sent me.
That's hysterical.
I know. Oh, shit.
So that was fun. That was AMA with Troy and Kelly. But now we need to talk about the Met Gala, aka the party where Cara Delevingne is going to fuck everyone.
I want you guys to know that while we record this, I'm shimmying my little shoulders and shaking my little titty, just like Cara, just fucking high off my ass and shimmying.
Now, Troy, I would like you to read what I texted you this morning after I posted the video of Cara Delevingne. I think last night I posted it.
She said, quote, I take it personally when people say they hate Cara Delevingne. Like, grow the fuck up. I was like literally waking up.
Like 7 a.m.
What's going on? The Met Gala was a fucking mess. Can I just like go off for a second?
Go ahead.
I have been in a deep homosexual, like, rut about the Met Gala this year because it was so fucking off base. I think that this was the worst Met Gala of the past decade. And it's so fitting of this time when, like, all of these events that are supposed to be, like, really fun just feel murky and weird. Like, Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
It feels murky and weird and, like, it doesn't know what it is anymore. It's a parody of itself. The Met Gala is the same way. It feels like a parody of itself. It's, like, not the same thing that it once was. It's becoming more and more of a joke every year, I feel. And, like, it peaked, and it's not ever going to be what it was to me. The theme was so fucking, like, I cannot believe the shit that I saw people wearing on the red carpet this year. I'm gonna be honest. It blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Not that I know anything about fashion. Like, I'm an Old Navy gal. I don't know anything about fashion to begin with. I know that the Gilded Age doesn't mean the golden age of Hollywood, which is what all these people showed up in, like, flapper dresses.
There was, like, barely any, like, bustle or, like, there were barely any corsets. There weren't, it's just, like, the Gilded Age is, like, such an easy thing to even look up.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes the Met Gala theme is, like, a little bit more, like, nuanced, and you could make it some weird thing in your mind. For the dress code to be that specific, you literally could just Google image it. Like, people have been doing it in movies and television shows and music videos, like, forever. It's, like, very easy. Like, Madonna at the VMAs performing Vogue, do that. Like, it's not even hard. All right.
No, keep going.
I'm high and I'm gay, it made me so mad. Like, you're right, all of this fucking old hot, I get it, you all want to look like fucking Marilyn Monroe, we get it. But, like, what the fuck?
It's not the Gilded Age.
Right.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes the competition.
Host Shima Oliyei was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks of 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after?
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What do you think of Kourtney Kardashian being like, I didn't even know what the theme was?
The fact that we've... The fact that we have let the Kardashians infiltrate the Met Gala in such a way that we went from they're not allowed, they're banned, to, all right, yeah, Kim can come, I guess. So, all right, fine. Kylie, Kendall, bring your asses on. You guys can fucking come too. To now, it's the Kardashian party.
Yeah.
It's the fucking Kardashian party.
Can we talk about why Kim got her first invite, though? Kanye.
Because of fucking Kanye. It's really frustrating to me. It's frustrating because it, like, is so much bigger than just the Met Gala. It's just like, we can't have anything.
Anything.
We can't have anything without it revolving around that fucking family. Nothing can happen. No event. Nothing.
Maybe that's why I just rewatched Girls, because I knew the Kardashians wouldn't be, like, in it. And by rewatch, I mean watch for the first time.
It's like the re-edited version where they're in it.
A nightmare. No, I agree with you. I think it's really difficult. Like, I can't say I've tried hard to accept the Kardashians,
mm-hmm.
but I have tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't. Like, it's exhausting. You know, and even the whole, like, Kim with the dress thing, which we will get into, and I have a friend who debunked it and talk about the dress, but again, it's one of those moments where I'm like, deep down, I'm just a hater when it comes to them. And I think having like TikTok people and influencers and all of that be invited to the Met Gala, everyone was kind of like, wait, what?
It literally is becoming, it's Coachella now. It's Coachella in weirder clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's a joke. You know, like gone are the days of like the Met Gala really being some like breathtaking like event that feels really, really special. It doesn't feel special.
If you could go back to any year, if you know off the top of your head, do you know what year you'd go back to?
Yeah. Immediately.
Me too.
I would go back to, actually, I don't know the exact year, but the year that Sarah Jessica Parker went with Alexander McQueen, and they wore, I'll send you a picture of it.
Is it when she wore like the Scottish thing?
Yes.
2011.
Yeah. 2011 Met Gala era was great. Like 2011, 2012, when like Rihanna was like becoming like a fashion person, and it was just really exciting. Like it was still really, really exciting to like wait with bated breath to see what people would wear. Now, after a year of seeing Katy Perry literally come as a chandelier, you kind of just, it's like, I'm numb. I'm just numb.
I would say mine would be 2016, because that's when Taylor Swift was dating Calvin Harris, showed up with Karlie Kloss, allegedly fell in love with Joe Alwyn that night, but then was filmed like dancing with Tom Hiddleston. That's her worst timeline of all time when I talk about Taylor Swift's like shitty PR moments. But that year, like Lorde was there, who's also one of my favorite artists. Like, I feel like that would be a very fun year for me to be there.
Is that your buzz cut, my hair bleached? Yes. Is that the Met Gala? Okay. Did you like that I knew that?
I did. I'm turning you slowly. But no, I think that would definitely be the year. I think that was like the year I started really paying attention to the Met Gala.
Yeah. And it just felt different. Like, do you remember like the excitement? Like it was so fucking exciting to be like, oh my God, like what the fuck's going to happen tonight? It's the Met Gala. And like, just imagining being there. Like, I don't even know if I would give a fuck if I was at the Met Gala now. I'd be like, Emma Chamberlain, excuse me. I need to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like,
can I ask, who is she?
Emma Chamberlain is a YouTuber, and she, like years ago, she was like kind of a funny, silly YouTuber, and she's really like solidified herself as like a fashion girl. And now she's like a phenomenon. Like, I would say that JoJo Siwa was like the face of like youth little girls. To me, Emma Chamberlain is like the girl that you would say represents like TikTok age girls.
Good for Emma.
Yeah, she's whoever. I like Emma Chamberlain.
Her interviews with Vogue were funny.
She's very, very funny. And she actually has a really great like eye for fashion. Like, she's not just one of these stupid girls that like thinks that she does because she has TikTok followers. Like, she cares about fashion.
Okay,
so reminder again, we are going to do a real Met Gala episode where we go all the way back. We should go all the way back. Let's see how fucking far back we can go.
I think 2005 was the first blind I found.
That's going to be very fun to see how it changes throughout the years too, you know?
Yeah.
But so yeah, we're just sticking to 2022 because this episode is already off the fucking rails. So we're going to rail it in and read some blinds and hopefully remember how to read. We're both so high now. So literally bye.
I get that you want to party and everything, but isn't it uncomfortable for the celebrity CEO to be wasted while out with your mom? And that's Elon Musk getting wasted at the Met Gala with his mom, Mae Musk.
Speaking of the men who attended, this A-plus list mostly movie actor not only got work done to his face again, but was also showing off his French skills to anyone who was interested. And that is Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper needs to stop getting fillers.
It's so unnecessary.
Like, he's so handsome. Stop it, sir.
I know. And like, like lean into the fact that the more wrinkles and shit you get, people think that you're even more attractive.
It's so unfair that men age and people are like a glass of wine, and a woman ages, they're like disgusting.
I know.
In the hidden away smoking area last night, the late night actor showed up often. He looked genuinely happy to be with fellow smokers and away from his minders. And that is Pete trying to get away from the Kardashians. Troy, do you think they're a real couple yet?
I think that they're fucking.
Yeah. You don't need to be a couple to fuck.
Exactly. I don't know how real. I don't think they're in love. I don't think that Kim thinks that he's going to be a stepfather to her children. But I think it's a really great thing that they're doing here for press. It's working out amazing.
Did you see he allegedly got tattooed? Everything's been alleged. Everything we've said tonight. Did you see he got tattoos on his neck of like the first letter of each of Kim K's kids' names? Mm-hmm. That's fucking weird and inappropriate.
Yeah, it's psychotic. This is what we get though for fetishizing men like him. Whenever that whole thing started, like the alt boy thing that just happened, like this is what we get. And now we're in bed with a fucking alt boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Speaking of the late night actor, his date and the press made it seem as if she wore the original all night. She literally wore it for 5 minutes and couldn't even get a zip before slipping into a replica.
Can I jump to what my friend Bonnie said?
Yes, please.
Okay. So my good friend Bonnie, if you guys want to follow her on Instagram, her handle is @ Bonnie Bryant Creative. And she was posting about how there's no way in hell Kim actually wore this dress. So I was super interested. And I asked her why it wouldn't be real. And she let me know. So everything I'm about to say is from her. This is not Kelly or Troy. It's Bonnie Bryant. It was bought by Ripley's, believe it or not, not necessarily the gold standard of historic museum preservation. The guy who owned it before took very good care of it. And Ripley's bought it for a few million, and obviously they want to protect their investment. So reasons why it is a replica. Kim and Marilyn have very different bodies. Kim said she lost 16 pounds in 3 weeks to fit into the dress, but either way, it is still a very different body. The dress was made to Marilyn's exact body type in the undergarments that she wore. And it was still skin tight on her. So she was literally stitched into the dress wearing the undergarments. That's Marilyn. They didn't wear the same Spanx type undergarments then. And Marilyn wore a bullet style bra. The dress, as shown, would not fit Kim's body at all. It wouldn't fit her waist. It would be too small. The boobs would fit weird because of Marilyn's bra. It would need to be fitted to Kim, and they wouldn't be able to tailor it to her specifically. The fabric is also different. The fabric on Kim's dress appears to be stretchier and more modern than Marilyn's. That is not 60-year-old silk. It looks like stretchier synthetic fabric that would be more flattering and easier to put on. The colors are also off. Even taking aging/discoloration into account, Marilyn's dress was dyed to fit her skin tone exactly. Kim's dress does not look like that. It was fit for Kim's skin tone rather than Marilyn's. The video of the dressers dragging the dress up her body, if it was a real vintage gown, the dress would be falling apart. The rhinestones would be everywhere. This is a dead giveaway. Those are not museum people either. Even Ripley's, believe it or not, people wouldn't do that. The people dressing Kim were Kim's dressers. So I'm continuing with what Bonnie said. This is the biggest thing that drives me insane. People think this is just a dress and I'm shallow, but it's a piece of one-of-a-kind vintage fashion and American history a Jean Louis original. Once that silk falls apart, the dress is gone. These garments don't last forever. What museum would put a $5 million piece of art history on someone and treat it like that? My belief is that this is a PR stunt for both of them. Ripley's gave Kim's team unprecedented access to an exact replica, but tweak it to her measurements a little more to make it flattering, then pretend it's that dress. They get to add a, quote, worn by Kim thing into the exhibit in Orlando, and all the tourists will flock to see it. Also, the video of the dress not fitting her butt is famous because it didn't quite fit Marilyn's butt, and it's on brand for it not to fit Kim's butt.
That is brilliant.
I was like, Bonnie, what? I agree. Like, I guess
you debate that?
I never thought of it not being the real dress, but when she showed up, I was like, that's it?
First of all, when I saw that video of Kim jumping into that dress, mm-hmm. and those all of those gays tugging it up her fucking ass over her Spanx, come on.
Yeah.
Her Skims, give me a fucking break. I was like, this is either like the fakest thing ever, or even worse, it's the most disrespectful thing ever.
Yeah, 100%.
Either way, it's completely fucked. I'm sorry. Like, it's not, it's like your friend said, it's not just a dress. Like, it's a part of American history. And, like, it's taking it and turning it into, like, a fucking PR thing so that this woman can fucking promote a Hulu show. Like, is nothing sacred? Not even Marilyn Monroe's JFK dress.
So I have to say, I wish we would leave Marilyn the fuck alone.
Let her be. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. And when I was reading all that stuff that Bonnie sent me, I was like, yeah, that makes 100% sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. To me, it's just like, it's absurd. And I just found the whole thing to be so like, and then that video from today of them giving her her hair. Why?
Why? And she looks at Pete and she's like, this will be in bed with me. I'm like, Kim, you're not Marilyn. You're not Norma Jean.
Like, where is this coming from?
It's random, right?
Like, there are many celebrities that I can think of off the top of my head that I've heard talk about Marilyn Monroe throughout. People like Mariah Carey, who literally collects memorabilia and takes like museum quality care of it, of Marilyn Monroe's, right? Anna Nicole Smith. Used to, like, there are people that I know, like, truly lived, ate, and breathed Marilyn Monroe. I've never even fucking heard Kim talk about this woman. Like, what is going on?
And I saw another video. I can't remember. It was on TikTok. I don't know the handle. I'm sorry. But I guess, like, that was one of Marilyn's last big appearances.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's sick. And you have Kris Jenner up there taking fucking pictures.
It is so sick. Carpet. And what did she dress as? Jackie O? Didn't Kris Jenner?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I know. I know. And it's like, it's Kim rubbing it in our faces that she is a solid. It's like her solidifying herself. I deserve this. I deserve to be here. Like, I fought for this. You know what I mean? And great. Good for you. But like, there are limits. What I'm blown away by it, honestly.
And of course she spray tanned Pete Davidson to the like max.
And then you have Pete Davidson standing behind allegedly Marilyn Monroe's dress. Pete Davidson.
So one of our questions that we got asked during that AMA, it was like, what are your predictions for pop culture in 2022? Pete Davidson is going to get fucked by the Kardashians. That's my prediction. No matter how they break up, unless they decide to do like a joint breakup, Pete's going to look like shit.
See, I think that this is Pete's flying too close to the sun moment.
I agree with you 100%.
he's done an incredible job of bedding these women that are out of his league, and he made a little career out of it, and it was cute. And then he decided to like play with the big dogs, and now he's in bed with like truly the devil in a blue dress.
Yeah.
Or the Marilyn Monroe JFK dress, if you will.
The Kardashians are gonna fuck Pete up.
Yeah. He stands not a single chance. He's fucked. This permanent A-list quote singer was asked if she wanted to attend last night, and she said no. Her significant other really wanted to attend and tried to be able to show up solo. It is nice to see the media picking up on what I told you last week about his money demands. It is not about the singer. It is about fame and money and getting as much for himself as possible. And that is Britney Spears and Sam.
I mean, I know you're like Britney's best friend, so I'm curious to see your thoughts on this. Or here.
Listen, I've never trusted Sam. I stand behind the fact that I don't trust him. I've tried to be optimistic at times. Like, I've listened to some of my old Britney recordings, and I can hear the optimism in my voice, me trying to be happy, you know, for family. But I don't fuck with him. We see each other. I feel like at the cookout, we catch eyes, and it's awkward. Like, I just don't fuck with him. I think that he is a money-hungry, fame-seeking, attention-obsessed fucking fembot. Like, I really honestly think that he's a Terminator. I'm not kidding.
If you say it, I believe it.
I just don't trust him. He is like, ugh. He makes my skin crawl. He's so disingenuous. He gives me like Mario Lopez vibes.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
I see that.
Fake.
I guess like, we talked about this maybe in our last public episode. I can't remember. But I like to think that Britney would see that, but I also don't know.
Listen, my girl's track record with these men's, it aren't good. And it's not like the one thing that I will say is that I'm grateful to him for standing by her. And like, you know, Zach and I talked a lot about this when we were in Texas. Like, he helped separate her from her family, and she wouldn't have been able to do it alone. And like that, I'm forever grateful for, because none of this would, like, the ball wouldn't have rolled the way that it did if he wasn't there, right?
To, like, but he also knows that.
But he knows that, and he's aware of that. And I just wonder how much of it comes from a good place.
Met Gala. The former A-plus list rapper had one of the biggest parties of the night. She also admitted she was doing coke and encouraged others to do the same. That was allegedly at Cardi B's party at the Standard. So I have listened to this video more than once, like multiple times. She tells everyone to take a shot. And when I hear it, it says, like, I hear grab a lime instead of like, because she's like, do a lime. Like, it could sound like grab a lime, do a lime.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep hearing grab a line.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who listens knows that Troy and I love cocaine blinds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she said that.
Yeah, I don't know, but like, it doesn't even matter, right?
I don't know why everyone loves to villainize Cardi B. I'm not saying Cardi B some angel.
Mm-hmm.
But Shannon over on Fluently Forward, she posted in her story today, actually, where she was like, Cardi B has charisma. Cardi B is a fun celebrity, and that's the truth.
I think that people forget that Cardi B is the breakout star of a reality television show. She's a star. Like, she just so happens to be really good at music. But at the end of the day, like, I think that she has an awareness that she's a star. She is it factor. And she was a star before she was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
People also forget that she was a fucking, just like an internet girl. Like, Cardi B is like if, like, a YouTuber became the biggest rapper in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was like an internet celebrity who just was a really fun stripper and posted really fun stripper videos, you know? And I think people forget that. Like, She's a star. She's a starlet.
But yeah, you're right. Who cares if she did say that at a party?
You guys, there was coke at the Met Gala. Okay?
We can Cara Delevingne was on, allegedly on coke on that red carpet.
To me, I gotta be honest, and this is not me trying to normalize cocaine, but the coke blinds now, to me, sound like the way the weed blinds sounded 20 years ago, where I know that it's not the same thing and cocaine is horrific, but like, we're not idiots, right? Like, we know that there was coke at the Met Gala. We can just, why is there a blind item about that? Is that crazy? So silly.
Especially at like an after party.
Come on, it's the Met Gala, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like you said, Cara was shaking her fucking shoulders so hard on that red carpet. Of course there was coke there.
Her tongue's like all over her teeth and she's like, I don't know why I can't show my tits.
She's like trying to bite Meg Thee Stallion's neck.
Can we talk about that video really quick?
Yeah.
When she tried to kiss Meg Thee Stallion and Meg just like put her fingertips on her shoulders and was like, no.
The way that she took her body and moved it away was so incredible. It was just like, you're literally a rag doll. Like, you're a rag doll.
That was like one of the first times Cara has been denied specifically at the Met Gala.
I do not. I'm going to be honest with you. I bet you a lot of people hook up with Cara and like fall into her trap. But I bet you more times than not, other A-list celebrities who don't feel the need to sleep with Cara Delevingne are like, bitch, get the fuck away from me.
Do you think I would fall into the trap of Cara Delevingne?
I think you are in the trap. I think that you've, like, I think that you're far gone.
I agree.
Oh, you swallowed the key.
Troy, don't delete that. That's funny.
I'm sure there will be an official spin, but this A-list / B-plus list pay cable actress was scheduled to attend, but is dealing with some substance abuse issues and was in no shape to be seen in public. And that's Alexa Demi from Euphoria.
I feel like there was recently something on Twitter about her being at an event or something and just being totally out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine most of the cast of Euphoria is probably dealing with some crazy shit right now, to be honest, you know?
Their fame went from like 0 to 1,000, yeah. Times 1,000.
They're like TikTok's 90210 to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way. Or like the OC.
Yeah, totally.
This A-list reality star didn't want to be there. She acted like she didn't want to be there and was contractually forced / shamed into going, but was wasted on a combo of pot and booze and didn't care who knew it. Courtney didn't want to. We all knew Courtney never wants to be anywhere. Courtney Kardashian, guys, by the way.
Oh, right. Yeah, Courtney doesn't care that she's famous. This stuff doesn't fuel me.
She looked terrible.
I know.
Oh, can we talk about Kylie in the way that she looked like It Takes Two with Mary-Kate and Ashley?
A travesty. And I know that she was like paying homage to her friend, but even if he hadn't passed away, it still didn't fit the theme.
Oh, was it Virgil?
Yeah, it's very much his aesthetic. Like, and she was doing an homage to Virgil. Okay. And like, I get that. But like, your homage also didn't fit the theme of the Met Gala.
I have a theory of what's going to happen with this, Troy.
Okay.
And we've been like pretty good on what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're going to be like, you know, she wore that veil because, you know, she's a mama too now. She was really anxious about being on the red carpet for the first time since giving birth. And she kind of wanted to like hide a little bit.
Mm.
And she was really insecure. So like the fact you guys talk shit is really bad.
I could totally see that.
That is exactly what's going to happen in a week or two.
She's going to do it on her YouTube like she did when she came forth and admitted to having postpartum. She's like, it's hard for me too sometimes.
No, she will post something being like, ha ha, I've heard the jokes. Just so you guys know, I covered my face because I'm self-conscious after giving birth for a second time. But I really wanted to show up and support my family and support my friend Virgil.
But luckily she has Kylie skincare this video will show you how to be a more confident mom. Mm-hmm. Why, yes, that was this foreign-born A-list singer who was doing lines of coke and then ended up having a quickie in the back of an SUV before returning to the after party. And that's Camila Cabello.
She used to really bother me, but now that I know her blind item life, I think I like her.
I just, like, don't... She's another person that I'm always like, oh, yes, she exists. Ugh, you gotta remember Camila's a person. Like, I forget that she's a living, breathing person.
I really think she took one for the team when it comes to her and Sean.
I do, too. I think she was trapped in that.
I mean, Sean showed up looking like fucking Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. Oh, and then God. Everyone shit on her outfit. She did look bad.
Yeah, she looked horrible.
Looked like she had Fruit Loops or something on her dress. This A-plus list singer was invited and was expected to attend up until about a week or 10 days prior to the show. Apparently, there's a secret about to be revealed, and the gala was not the place for it to be, and that's Taylor Swift, and I'm nervous Taylor Swift's pregnant.
Oh, you think that's the secret?
I don't know. I can't keep up with her. Whenever I think something's going to happen, I have, like, my clown makeup to the side.
Really ready to go.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, might as well start painting my face.
You're like, she's finally coming out.
Listen, I will always have hope that Taylor Swift's coming out.
Yes, that was the married, barely there celebrity model enjoying the great deal of attention she was getting from the singer / actor who had the press on the red carpet flustered. And that's Emily Ratajkowski and Jared Leto.
So this is the final one that we have for 2022. I mean, we can just keep talking, Troy. I'm having so much fun.
Me too.
The billionaire, François-Henri Pinal, owner of this fashion house, has a longtime grudge against the editor for some slight that most assume involves either his wife, Selma Hayek, or model X, Linda Evangelista, but it's really about ad prices being too high. And that's that. Can I tell you my favorite Selma Hayek fact that I have learned?
Okay.
She has a pet owl and it will sleep in her bedroom with her. And sometimes she wakes up with it like on her shoulder in her bed.
Oh.
No, owls are scary, Troy.
That's really sweet though, because it's her. And I'm just picturing her talking to it.
Oh my God. No, she talks to it all the time.
Every moment she's talking to that bird.
Did you ever have to dissect an owl pellet in school?
No, we never did any sort of dissection in school, thank God.
Fifth grade, I had to dissect. Know what I had to fucking do, everyone listening? I had to dissect an owl pellet, which is like what an owl throws up, almost like a hairball.
Mm-hmm.
And then tape the skeleton to a piece of paper and identify what kind of rodent it was. And it was a mole. Everyone's gonna be like, no more high episodes.
Ooh, no, we never had to dissect anything, thank God. My teacher wasn't into it. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any closing thoughts about the Met Gala, I guess, in general?
I do have one.
Okay.
I wish people would stop acting surprised when Blake Lively shows up and looks fucking stunning. People are like, oh my God, Blake Lively looks so good. I'm like, when has she not looked good?
The one thing about Blake Lively, and I said this when we recorded that episode, I will never get over this. She like doesn't use a stylist.
So she says.
But I honestly, really, truly like kind of believe in Blake Lively's eye for fashion. I just think she like has a really, really good eye. And she's fun to look at. And she always makes things exciting. Like, she's a fun celebrity to know that's showing up somewhere, to be honest with you.
I think Blake Lively is one of the most beautiful women of all time. That's a heavy thing to say, probably.
Well, I had to think about it, but beautiful in a way, well, I'm not going to speak for you, but to me, she's beautiful in a way of like, she carries the light. She has like an energy about her that's very magnetic and, you know, like you would gravitate to her, you know?
Yeah, she's like the nice pretty girl at school.
And that hair.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what I get so frustrated about. Every single time she steps on a red carpet, people are like, Blake Lively's beautiful. I'm like, if her husband let her out of the house, you guys would know that more.
Yeah. Because she used to fucking kill red carpets all the goddamn time.
Every day.
Those years where Blake Lively was reaching her fashion peak and she was out becoming, she was a fashion bitch. Oh, that was exciting. Like, she's fun on a red carpet.
Blake is gorgeous. Like, yeah. I know we've slighted her for her acting and maybe her personal choices.
Sure.
But she has one of the best nose jobs I've ever seen my whole life.
Without any doubt.
I think watching Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and everyone was talking about the soccer coach, I was like, what about Blake?
Well, her, you know, her hair was like the fifth cast member of that movie.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it basically had, it was like a part of the union.
When they like poured, when she poured water on herself and you're like, what's happening?
Right. Like, my tummy feels weird.
But yeah, I would say that's probably my takeaway. And also, like, I've said it a bunch on this podcast. I do not like the Kardashians. I will never like them. And I'm just kind of like over them being everywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. I honestly think the Met Gala would have been great if it was just Kim.
Agreed. I think that we are, and then this is hopeful. This is like wishful thinking. But with the way that a lot of what they've been doing has been received, and the way that Kim's dress didn't hit this year, it does feel, and the fact that it was such a over-the-top moment, it does kind of feel like Kim is reaching this point of, like, implosion. Like, it's too much, and, like, people are just sick of her shit, and just generally kind of more sick of their shit. But I don't know. We always get sick of their shit, and then we crawl right back into their anal cavities, so I don't know.
And what's insane is, say someone who's so overexposed. I always go to Taylor Swift just because I know that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But say even like a Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, they've all stepped away for a while.
Yeah.
Kim hasn't done that.
No. Well, she knows she can't.
And I think that's going to maybe be an issue. I don't know.
I think she knows that part of her, the way that she stays famous is by having all of the burners go at once, constantly, every fucking day. All of them. Kendall's is going, hers is going, Kylie's is going. They're, all of the burners are fucking turned up every single day. And like, we can't, it's like we can't escape them. It's like, it literally is like trying to kill cockroaches. It really is.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh. Now, what are your hopes for the Met Gala? Like, for how could they make it better? Because I'm a newer viewer to this, right? Like, it's just been basically 2015, 2016 for me.
I think that in the future, these stylists need to step their shit up with the Met Gala and like take the power out of the celebrities' hands and fucking put these people in themed looks for this event. I understand that Megan Thee Stallion looks amazing in period piece gowns, but we've seen it 80 million fucking times, and it's the Met Gala, and like, just like, if anything, the celebrities should just be models to these events.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they should have no say in what they're wearing unless they are Sarah Jessica Parker or something, somebody like that. Like, I'm just so sick of the theme not being followed. It makes it not fun for the viewer. And I think the reason that, to me, like, the most recent Met Gala that stands out the most was the camp-themed one.
Yeah, because I didn't even know what camp was.
Okay.
I mean, I learned that night.
You quickly learned that day.
I was like, L.L. Bean?
I liked the camp one because they all understood the assignment, and it was fun, and everybody's idea of camp is, like, whatever, so it made the people watching it like excited. Like, I was really, really fucking into the camp one because it was, they all did it, you know? When they don't do the theme, it's not fun to watch.
Yeah, I hate when guys just show up in like a suit.
Like, fuck off. Are you kidding? A black tuxedo to the Met Gala? Like, suck 20 dicks and just go somewhere else.
Grow up.
Literally.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I also think, like, inviting influencers isn't great. Ugh. And I like influencers. Like, I'm not someone who hates on influencers typically. Like, you know, if people like you and if 5 million people want to follow you, that's fucking awesome for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's like a time and a place kind of thing.
I agree. I think that there's this assumption that, like, because when influencers reach a certain level of fame, they should be invited places and they should be allowed to do certain things. That's not what that means. I don't give a fuck how many followers James Charles has on YouTube. I don't want to see James Charles at the Met Gala. He has no business being there. And when he shows up and looks a fool wearing a fucking safety pin cropped top, it's your fault because you invited him. He has no business being there.
Do you think someone should take over instead of Anna Wintour?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And it was proven by what she wore to her own event. Girl, pack it up and let somebody else give it a shot, because you clearly, like, she has let these people run amok.
Did you hate Kara's outfit as much as everyone else did?
It was revolting. She was spray painted and had jewels stapled on her body. What are you doing? What is going on? Like, what is the true tea? I don't understand.
So really, I think what they need to do next year is just invite singers and actors and actresses. No social media people, no reality TV people.
I would be okay with that. And give them a theme that they can fucking figure out.
Don't Unless they want to invite Sheena. Sheena can go.
Well, she's a staple.
You know she would dress to theme.
Yeah. No, you're kidding me. Sheena would show up in a fucking Pretty Little Thing dress from Instagram. Are you out of your mind? Sheena would show up in a crop top and some wedge sneakers.
Happy birthday, Troy. I've been at Coachella all weekend. Sorry, it's late.
I'm so tired.
I'm the worst. I just want to keep talking just because I'm stoned. But
I know. Let's land this plane.
So that was the 2022 Met Gala drama. We do have like a bunch more pulled, but I think that deserves like a true Patreon episode.
Yeah, that deserves like a full hour.
I seriously want to say the cities we're going to, but we can't. I'll be in trouble.
No, don't do it.
That's Troy with me all the time. I'm like, I want to say it. And Troy's like, don't do it. I have a question for you, Troy.
Okay.
What can people expect from our live shows coming up?
I can genuinely say that our first handful of shows were extremely fun, and it was really cool to be able to like figure out like what our show is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing that by the fourth show, like we collectively figured out our show. And I just think that's really cool. And I'm excited to like get back into it, and because it feels like a much more well-oiled machine now. And like, I'm really excited. Like I feel more professional now, you know? So I think it's going to be really fun.
I have one more question. And this was a good question that I wish I asked at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want your answer, then I'll give mine. But somebody asked, they were like, do you think it's weird when people fangirl, fan guy over us at shows or at bars when we see them or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Do I think it's weird?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Listen, we both do podcasts because we listen to podcasts. And like, there are people that are like very, very, very fucking famous to me, you know, in the podcasting world that are just because I've been listening to them. Like I'm no different. Like I'm the same exact way, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I thought that question was interesting. So I used to get like recognized a lot at bars in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a girl, it was very new to like Laguna Beach. And a girl came up to me and I was like, this is weird. And she was like, is it? And then in my head, I was like, I made her feel weird about something she was excited about.
Because she doesn't look weird at all.
She, you know, and I was kind of like, I feel like, I mean, we still took the picture and stuff. But after, I was like, I feel like such an asshole. And things that I get excited about, if I saw Danielle Ackles on the street, I would be thrilled. Whereas other people would be like, who the fuck is Danielle Ackles?
Right.
And I don't want anyone to ever feel that way. So no, I have so much fun and I love meeting everyone from everywhere. It's very cool.
It's also a really cool thing to like, because podcasting is such a specific, like very intimate thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I think you and I both have a real understanding of that because we've listened to podcasts. Like, you know, there are certain memories even that I have in my life that are attached to podcasts because I was listening to them while they happened, you know? And these are people that you know for a really long time and you learn a lot about. And it is interesting, like for the first time to kind of be on the other side of that. And like people meet us and they know everything about us because they've been listening for a long time. And there's like a shorthand where like, you don't even have to, they just like know every, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Cause this is so intimate.
For sure. 100%. And you know? Our separate podcast, we got even more intimate.
Oh my God. Yeah, totally.
I'd be like, I want to quit my job. And then I'd be like, why is my boss being mean to me? Oh, maybe because she listened to your fucking episode where you ripped her apart.
I know. I'm like, hi guys, welcome to Dunzo. My grandmother died today. Here's how I'm feeling. Here's how I'm feeling.
Well, with that, guys, this was an episode.
It exists. It's now out into the ether. We want to bless it. Blessed be this episode. Don't honestly, steer us this wrong.
I know Patreon. I know you guys like spend money to hang out with us extra every month. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you letting us do this episode because the last few episodes have been, don't worry, Troy. I know I said that word wrong. I'm just, don't delete it. Don't delete it. But seriously, like the way we started this season was so dark. That this was just like fun, just for us gals.
We needed this. I appreciate this. I love a kooky episode. I love a weird one-off thing. Like this reminds me of like when sitcoms do like a weird episode. I love that. So this is fun.
This is, you know how we have like the Rotted series? This is Stoner series.
Yeah. We hope that you guys enjoyed it. We love you very, very much.
Yeah. I want to say like, sorry, but.
We're landing the plane now, because if not, we'll never land it. But we love you, and we're gonna go now. Okay, bye.
Bye.